You, Don. Amen. That is good. In your Bibles, in Haggai, we have the temple has been destroyed, and now God had told the people to rebuild the temple, and as we'll see in chapter 1, they didn't do it, and they refused to do it, and so that always sets things in motion. By the way, the destruction of the temple was because of sin. The people not rebuilding the temple, that was because of sin. The resulting crop failure, that was because of sin, and it's always going to be true. But that's not what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about the mission of missions, and we continue our theme for the month of October, A Time for Missions, our yearly theme for such a time as this, and we're on A Time for Missions. So we'll have the flags up and keep you reminded. We had a fantastic week of missions conference and great messages. Everything was so appropriate and tied in so well. But I want to continue with that theme and talk to you about the mission of missions. Father, please bless now the preaching of thy word, and I would ask for your power and that you would drive home the truth of the word of God into our hearts and our lives, that we would not be the same, but we'd be different. And Lord, help us to realize, as Don just saying, that there are so many that feel that no one cares for their soul. And Lord, we have the answer, we have the truth, and we need to get it out. And so I pray you'll help us with that in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice back in chapter 1, the scripture says in verse 2, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." For whatever reason, excuses are being made that they rebuild the Lord's house, and they don't want to do it. But God told them to. God said it is time. You know, sometimes we think some things are more important. There's nothing more important than God's will and God's work. Nothing. And that's not to take away from anything we do. It's just to understand that God's will is the most important thing, and his work is the most important thing. And so the people said, well, it's not time to deal with that. Verse 3, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." The people, their houses are all built, taken care of, everything's looking good, but the temple, God's house, lies waste. They haven't done anything. They've let that go. And so he tells them to consider. By the way, Haggai over and over says, consider. What's that mean? Think about this. Think about this. Consider this. And so again, they do all these things. You'll notice in verse 6, the Bible says, "Ye've sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes." In other words, there's a lot of effort going forth, but nothing seems to be happening. Then again, verse 7, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, build the house, and I'll take pleasure in it. I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And you run every man unto his own house." And they're not paying attention to the work of God. They don't care. It doesn't matter to them. "And therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew. The earth is stayed from her fruit." Again, he's explaining why the harvest is short. Why there just isn't enough. And he says, "I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands." And so things are not, they're going through a lot of motions, doing a lot of things, but there is no blessing. And we go back to our text in verse 15, chapter 2, verse 15. And again, he says, now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord." So now something different has happened. And we see that something different in that the people have started building the foundation. Now they're listening, okay? So they've gone through all this tough time. He describes it in verse 16, "Since those days were when one came to a heap Of 20 measures, there were but 10. In other words, what should have been 20 was half. When one came to press fat to draw 50 vessels, there were but 20. And again, under half was all that they got. Should have been more. The harvest should have been better. The crop should, everything should have been better. But because of sin, it wasn't better. Because they disobeyed God, it wasn't better. But he says, but now, he says, before a stone is laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, now that you've started the foundation, now that you've started doing what you're supposed to do, he says in verse 18, consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider. He says, okay, now you're doing what you're supposed to do. Now you are, you know, you're back on track. Now you're laying the foundation. Okay, the day of dearth is over. He said in verse 17, I smote you with blasting, with mildew, with hail, and all the labors of your hands. Nothing was working, yet ye turned not to me. But now, he said, now that you've turned to me, now that you've gotten things right, now that you're concerned about my house like you should be, he said, now that you're right with God, he asks this question. He says, consider this, twice in verse 18. Verse 19, he says, is the seed, and the key word, I've got it circled in my Bible, is the seed yet in the barn? Is in other words, it's not an odd thing for the seed to be in the barn. And by the way, there wouldn't be as much seed because everything was down, all the crops, everything was failing because of sin. But there's some. And so he says, is it yet in the barn? In other words, okay, it is not time for seed to be in the barn. Well, why? God, everything's failed. Nothing's worked. Nothing's gone right. Everything's bad. He said, no. He said, yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. Now, what are you going to do about it? That's what he said. What? Okay, what are you going to do? Hey, after a week and I come to you, am I going to have to say, is the seed yet in the barn? Well, but God, you don't understand. I mean, the crops failed. Nothing's going well. Why should we plant? No, listen to me. God says, from this day, he said, I'm going to bless you. Amen. And so if I'm going to bless you, okay, you're building the temple. You're back doing what you're supposed to do. You're back doing what I told you to do. And so he says, now from this day, he said, I'm going to bless you. So what? He said, consider two times. Verse 18, he said it over and over throughout Haggai. He says, think. Amen. By the way, there never was anything wrong with the seed. It wasn't the seed. God said, I'm blasting, mildew, hail. He said, I caused a drought. I mean, you know, your lives weren't right. You weren't doing what you're supposed to do. But he said, listen, is the seed yet in the barn? Is it still there? Because I just said, I'm going to bless you. So what would be the conclusion of the matter that is being asked here after God said to consider, think. Consider now from this day and upward. You've gone back to doing what you're supposed to do. Now he said, let's finish this off. Get the seed out. Here's the mission of missions. The mission of missions is getting the seed out. The mission of missions is not looking at crop failure or not looking at drought or not looking at hail. The mission of missions is to get the seed out. Is the seed, is it yet? Is it still there? I mean, honestly, if there's seed in the barn, then it's not out in the field. It's not bringing forth any crops. If the seed is in the barn, then it's not going to, in the fall, there's not going to be a harvest. There's not going to be a crop. There's no chance of a bumper crop. There's no chance of even half of a crop, as they saw. There's nothing if it's still in the barn. The mission of missions, we have to get the seed out. We have to get it out, and again, we'll through the month we'll talk about obviously our own area and our county and our state, our country, but the whole world, because there never at any time was anything wrong with the seed. There never at any time was a problem with the seed that was in the barn. And again, you know, well, yeah, they planted and they did all that, but nothing seemed to work out. But that's because they weren't right with God. That's because they weren't building God's temple. That's because they were disobeying God. But now he said, you know what, I'm going to bless you. We you know, you say, preacher, I've gone soul winning, I've handed out tracts, I've never seen anything happen. And listen to me, there's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing if you're doing what you're supposed to do for God. God says, from this day forth, when? Because you started putting the stones down for the foundation. You started to obey what I told you to do. We live in a day, a lot of folks have this idea, you can just do whatever you want to do and God's going to bless. That is so untrue. You'll never find that in your King James Bible. You might find it in some hippie kind of thing, but it isn't in the King James Bible. You know, God is, go back and study your Bible. And you know, God wants to bless. And the blessing is always there. You understand, we just had a missions conference. We had four missionary families here that they have the seed. They have it. By the way, we have a whole bunch of families right here who have the seed. And the truth of the matter is, we have it where it's supposed to be. A farmer would have the seed in the barn. He's ready. All he's got to do is get it out there. But two things are needed. One is to get it out, and two is for God to bless. And God told him in Haggai here, he said, from this day will I bless you. Why is he blessing them? Because they're doing it right. They're doing it the right way. They're not doing whatever they want to do. They're doing what God said to do. Number one, I want you to see the potential of the seed, the potential of the seed. And obviously, we can see right here, but notice in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the potential of the seed. I want you to understand there is nothing wrong with the seed. And over in the Scripture, the Bible is called the seed. You know, the seed is the word of God. Parables Jesus told. He talked about the seed. The seed is the word of God. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. You see, the seed in the barn, it's perfect. It is incorruptible. There is nothing wrong with that seed, and it endures forever. I mean, it is always ready to do its work, always. It is perfect. And by the way, it's very important because being born again, because it is the seed by which as we scatter it abroad, as we plant it abroad, people can get saved. It is the very seed that is a 17-year-old boy. God used it to speak to my heart and to cause me to realize I was lost and on my way to hell. Thank God for the seed. It's the same seed that God used in your life to make you realize you were lost and on your way to hell. It is the seed that shows us that we're sinners. I know, again, not a popular thing nowadays, but it does show us that we're sinners. The law of the Lord is perfect, and by looking at the law of the Lord, I realize I'm not. By looking at the law of the Lord, you can realize you're not. By looking at the seed, the law of the Lord, the world, all over the world, can realize they're not. And that we fall short of God's glory. But it's that same seed, it's that same word of God that shows us that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could be saved, so that we would not have to pay the penalty of falling short of God's glory, so we'd not have to pay the penalty of our sin. Jesus died for us. It is that, look, the potential of the seed, it's always there. Just like the seed in the barn here that the Lord is asking about, that seed can grow a bumper crop. But I guarantee there was somebody, you know, it's like, yeah, we've seen our crops. They're not very good. It hadn't been too hot. That's because you didn't do what God said to do. You weren't doing it the way God said to do it. He said to build the temple of the Lord, and you worked on your own. You did your own thing. I got news for you, folks. God's always interested in his thing. That is number one. Amen. And God said, but now, he said, you've started the foundation of my house. And he said, you know what? I'm going to bless. He said, from this day will I bless you. The mission of missions. Hey, the seed is perfect. It is the potential of the seed is that men can be born again. The potential of the seed is that souls can be saved. The potential of the seed is that somebody in a country that is far, far away from here, they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and they can be saved. I was watching one of the videos. We get different DVDs, different videos from our missionaries and the Oswardis in Russia. Can you imagine Russia? But the seed's always perfect. It's always been perfect. Do you understand the seed? It's not a different seed. It's not, well, we have to get a new seed for Russia. No, we don't. It's always been. From eternity past, the seed was perfect for Russia. That's amazing. It's perfect for Ireland. It's perfect for Scotland. It's perfect for Mexico. It always has been. Well, it didn't look like we'd ever get in Russia, though, did it? Didn't look like there'd ever be the gospel in China. But there it is. You know, it's the potential of the seed. It has always been incorruptible seed. It's always been perfect. It's always been the answer. And God said in Haggai's day, he said, from this day will I bless you. From this day. Well, but what about the other day? No, listen to me. You weren't doing what I told you to do. You weren't building my house like I told you to build my house. He said, from this day, he said, I'm going to bless. The mission of missions. We got to get the seed out. Got to get the seed out. Number two. Number one, the potential of the seed. Number two is the possession of the seed. Possession of the seed. We have it. We have it right here. He said, is the seed, the key word, and I've got it circled in my Bible, is the seed yet in the barn? They had the seed. They possessed the seed. That's not why God is concerned here. God is saying, is it yet? It's sowing time. It's not storing time. Is the seed yet in the barn? You know, the potential of the seed. Okay, we already know what that is. But just the possession of the seed alone, that doesn't guarantee any blessings of God. You know, God said this. He said, yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth from this day. From this day. From this day will I bless you. He said, from this day. From now on, he said, you put the seed in the ground and it's going to grow. And I'm not going to send hail. You put the seed in the ground, it's going to grow. I'm not going to send a drought. Why? Because you did what I said to do. You obeyed me. You did what I said. And again, contrary to popular belief today, obedience means a lot to God. And just possessing the seed, though, as long as it's in the barn, it ain't going to grow. Nothing's going to happen. And as long, you know, I look out and I see seed possessors all over the room today, and we have it. We have our King James Bible. We have tracts printed. We have all of it. And we have to understand that it's sitting in the barn, in the purse, in the coat pocket, in the track rack, in the whatever. That doesn't guarantee anything. God said, I'm going to bless it, and I'm going to bless you. But if they don't get the seed out of the barn and get it out into the ground, there's not going to be the blessing. Okay? Do you expect the bumper crop in your barn? It doesn't happen. I mean, ask a farmer. They're going to say, no, that isn't going to happen. We have to get it out. Amen. The possession. So again, we have to understand, possessing seed never guarantees fruit. Just having it doesn't guarantee. Well, bless God, we're King James Bible. Yeah, we are. Amen. But just because we possess that doesn't guarantee that anything's going to happen. We have to get it out. Just because our missionary, you know, that's one of the questions we ask them. I mean, I ask them, I don't have a survey for them to do or anything like that, but I talk to them usually, and we put down pretty much what we believe and everything before they come. And one of the things, King James Bible, every one of those missionaries, you know, they believe the King James Bible. That's what they use. So they possess it. Wonderful. That's great. By the way, the Goosemans, they... excellent job Thursday night. What a blessing. And getting to hear the bagpipes, that was even an added blessing. But understand, they've got a great open door in Scotland. Would you agree? Amen. And they have the seed. They possess the seed. The Goosemans, I mean, no question about it. They possess the seed. But how much is going to happen in Scotland with them over here? You see what I'm saying? You have to understand, the mission of missions is get that seed out. It is one thing for somebody to possess that seed that has all the potential for souls to be saved. It's a whole other thing for it to get out. Number one, the potential of the seed. Number two, the possession of the seed. Again, it is not doing any good in the barn. So we come to number three, the planting of the seed. The Bible says a lot about the planting. I'm not going to get into all of that. I just want to key on, obviously, Psalm 126 and verse 5. As you think about the planting of the seed, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Now, the emphasis there, or the idea there, is that this person is going to bear the precious seed and scatter it out in the field. Because it says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When's that? That's harvest time. I mean, he's going to, doubtless, the Bible says, he's going to be rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It's exactly what God is asking. Hey, is the seed yet in the barn? What are you doing? It's planting time. You know, well, it hadn't been so good. Doesn't matter how it's been. I'm telling you, from this day forth, I'm going to bless you. Why? Well, because you started building my house like I told you to. Obeying me was more important than doing your own thing. And God said, I'm going to bless you. Now get the, you know, don't a week from now, don't let me ask you, is the seed yet in the barn? And you say, yeah, you know, nothing's changed. The planting of the seed. We got to get it out. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed. You know, it's a key thing. We have perfect precious seed, the Word of God. These missionaries, they have the Word of God. Can you imagine what could happen if we just get it out of the barn? Let's not let God ask us, a week later, or 2 weeks later, or 3 weeks later, is it yet in the barn? Let's not, you know, a couple years from now say, hey, did the Goosemans ever make it to Scotland? Did the Campbells, did they ever make it to Canada? Is it yet in the barn? Something to think about, amen. He that goeth forth and weepeth, it's the mission of missions. Getting out the seed. You say, well, I can't go to Scotland. You know, I don't see any way that I could, yes, but again, the seed being in the barn, it's a matter of, okay, what can we do to get it out? Yeah, we have our own seed stored. Tracks, Word of God, memory, all that we can get out. But again, how are we going to get them out? Well, faith promise is one way. You know what's always, it's always a real thing to me as a pastor, and that is how many people don't even pray about faith promise. Don't even ask God, what do you want me to do, God? In fact, many offerings never ask, what do you want me to do, Lord? Before missions conference, don't ask, God, what do you want us to do? What do you want me to do? Before we have a special speaker, don't ask. You know, God, what do you want me to do? You're missing out. You're missing out on an opportunity that is the mission of missions, and that is getting out the seed. What a blessing. The other night when Brother Shinneberry, missionary to Costa Rica, when he mentioned a pastor who is a seed spreader who needs his car fixed. You say, well, that's not getting out. Yeah, but if his car's not fixed, he may not be able to get out the seed. Amen? So what are we going to do about it? Well, I can't go to Costa Rica. By the way, you ought to be thankful somebody will. Brother Guzman described Scotland, and I'm thankful that people go there. You know, you might get blown away. Praise the Lord, these people. You know, praise the Lord for Brother Keese doing what he does. Praise the Lord. He's reaching people that have serious needs. Amen. But, well, what can I do? Well, we'll help a pastor get his car running. Amen. Well, what's that going to do? Well, that's going to, Lord willing, that's going to get the seed out of the barn. Because that's what we need to do. The psalmist said, he that goeth forth. Doesn't say goeth forth collecting seed. Doesn't say goeth forth studying the seed. Now, I'm not against that. I'm not against people learning the scripture. In fact, the Bible is very clear about that and studying the scripture and all. But when it comes to reaping, when it comes to fruit, when it comes to from this day will I bless you, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the seed growing. And in Psalm 126, he's talking about souls being saved. You know, we want to admire the seed, and we want to gather around the seed, and we want to save the seed. And nowadays, people want to change the seed. A better translation. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The only thing wrong is it's sitting in our barn. The only thing wrong is it sits in the barn of the United States of America, and it needs to be in Costa Rica, and it needs to be in Scotland, and it needs to be in Canada, and it needs to be in the Philippines, and it needs to be in Mexico, and, you know, the list. It's sitting in church, and it needs to be in the neighborhood. It's sitting in church, and it needs to be at the workplace. It's sitting in church, and it needs to be in the neighborhood. You know, that's the only issue, really. And that's exactly what God is saying here. But the people, yeah, but we did all that. But God said, yeah, but you weren't doing what I told you to do. Build my house. Take care of my house. Do what I say to do, God says. And he said, I'll bless you. From this day will I bless you. But I don't want to ask you again, is the seed yet in the barn? I want it out. Because if it's yet in the barn, there's no fruit. Do you understand? You don't find scripture anywhere where angels are scattering seed. You don't find the angels. You don't find the animals with the responsibility of getting the seed out. No, it's us. And you're not going to find the unsaved doing it. God does talk about scattering his people like seed, putting them in places so the seed gets out. We've seen that. We saw it in, that's what the New Testament, it's all about, is the people scattering because of persecution. And everywhere they went, they took the Word of God with them. It's exciting, isn't it? Now, that isn't necessarily our preference, I don't think, of getting the seed out, is it? What if there were a great persecution that comes to the United States of America, just so we'll all run? I had a guy when Y2K was taking place, remember that? And people were panicking. The more they talked about it, the more they panicked. And this guy told me, he said, Pastor, And he was as serious as he could be. He said, Pastor, he said, listen to me. He said, I've got a plan for Y2K. I said, really? You know, I had a plan too. I was going to go to bed that night early. Honestly, that was my plan. Unfortunately, we ended up having a church activity and we played ping pong and all that kind of thing. But he says, well, I got a, he said, I can get metal and we can weld it to the buses. I said, why are we welding? Well, he said, we need protection. He said, I can weld it around the windows. I can get our buses all ready. He said, I've got some supplies already, so we need to start planning. This was about a year before. And he said, we need to get supplies and everything. I said, really? I said, and what's your plan? He said, we're going to go to Canada. I said, who's we? He said, all of us. Church, we're moving. We're gonna take our buses up. He said, I can live in Canada. I can teach people how to trap, how to live. Trap what? He said, oh, he said, I bear. I don't want to mess with bear. Do you understand? When I see a bear, I'm leaving. I don't want to be. Who are we feeding? Us or the bear? That's my concern. Wolves, you know. Oh yeah, he said, I got it all figured out. I said, listen to me. I said, we're not taking our buses to Canada. The guy, he left the church. He found some place to go, probably a militia or something. I don't know. And he's probably in Canada today, trapping bear. But what if you trap one? What are you going to do with it? You know, nice bear. Anyway, I don't even want to talk about that. But the point I'm trying to make is, do we want that to be the way for the seed to get in Canada, where we're forced to go there because we're fleeing for our lives? Do we want the way to reach Mexico? We had to run to Mexico. Well, what are we going to take? Well, we're going to take the Word of God with us, right? Because we have it. Is that how we want to do it? That's New Testament. Read it. The people fled because of the persecution. And when they fled, what'd they do? They took the Word of God with them and they spread it. Just seems like it would have been better to maybe, you know, try missions conference. Now, I don't see us fleeing to Scotland. But what if Scotland was free and we weren't? You say, oh, that'll never happen. I don't know if it will or not. It did. I'm just saying this. It's up to us. It's up to us. And personally, I'd rather send the seed to Costa Rica by way of Brother Shinnerberry than by way of persecution. I'd rather send the seed to Canada by way of Brother Campbell than I would by way of persecution. I would much rather send the seed. Now, the only temptation would be sending the seed to Hawaii. And then it wouldn't matter if it's persecution or what. It'd be all right. But no, I'm just... Do you understand what I'm saying? Is the seed... Look, is it yet? Yet? Is it still in the barn? Here's the thing. We've memorized Scripture. We know the Romans Road. We know how to lead people to Christ. And yet, our neighbor's going to hell. We have missionaries ready to go. They are so excited about going. Brother Guzman gave his testimony. And I mean, these people, it's almost like, wow, what a novel thought. God did it. Amen. They're ready. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The more seed you get out there, the more opportunity you have to reap. That's just common sense. You know, we have so much here in America. We have so much seed available. So much of it sits in churches on Sunday mornings. So much of it just sits and it's stored. It's perfect. The potential of the seed is born again people. Amen. And so much seed has gone through missionary classes and mission school and gone to Bible college and gotten a degree. And all that seed is ready to be spread in some far off country or some ministry or whatever it is. I mean, that seed is there ready to go and it's ready for God to bless it. And again, the mission of missions. Okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to get it out? You know, tonight we'll look at our missions budget, and we're just real close, but we're still under. And so the idea of taking on missionary, you know, and yet it ought not be like that. I beg you, I ask, God, what can I do? And God's going to remind you of the track rack. What can I do? God's going to remind you of your checkbook. What can I do? God's going to remind you, have you ever surrendered to just do whatever I want you to do? Because the hard word in that verse 19, is the word yet. Because the seed's been in the barn for who knows how many years. But God, is it still? I told you 10 years ago, here's what you ought to do. And you didn't do it. Then the same seed, it's still there. Is it yet in the barn? We get more interested in our social things and more interested in what we like and what we want and all those kind of things. There's not a whole lot in the Bible about that. Not a whole lot in the Bible. There is a whole lot in the Bible about people getting saved. What's our part? I know this. I know it'd be a shame for God Almighty to look down on Berean Baptist Church and say, yet? Still? It's still in the barn? It'd be a shame for God to look down on one of our members and to, still? After all these years, it's still in the barn? It'd be a shame after so many years, and you hear it from missionaries all the time, it just takes all these years for deputation. It'd be a shame. You know? They're still not there? Yeah. But see, here's the thing. There's a cost in getting that seed out of the barn. Now, obviously, you know, these people, they had planted, the crops came up, and they watched it all be destroyed. Not all of it, but half of it destroyed. They saw the hand of God as the hail came. They saw the hand of God as drought came. They saw the hand of God as mold infested their crops, and they watched half of it and over half of it destroyed. All along, God said, you think about that, okay? Consider. Consider your ways. Do what I said. Obey me. And when you do, I'm going to bless you. Amen. Get the seed out of the barn. Amen. Get the seed out of the barn. And there's a cost. You know, ask a farmer. It costs money to get the seed out. Ask a pastor. It costs to get the seed out. It costs time. It costs effort. It costs persecution. It costs money. It costs to get the seed out in the world. Wow. Unbelievable. It costs. That's why, honestly, the big ministries today, they're not soul-winning ministries today. That doesn't mean God's blessing. It just means it's the easy way to go. It is so easy. So easy to just kind of forget about the lost people. Our bus ministry, I don't know what the budget is on the bus ministry. $20,000-some is just the budget. Then people give so much a week. I'm going to say bus ministry probably costs $30,000 a year or so, somewhere around there. And then insurance, probably more than that, actually. You know, that's the bus ministry. What's that all about? It's all about seed. Amen. Look around. Look around. How many people have bus ministries? Not many. Bless God, though. There isn't anything better to get the seed to little children. Amen? Costs. But you know, we have a lot of folks investing huge amounts of money in storage of seed. But that doesn't bring any fruit, does it? No. No. It's getting that seed out. That's the mission of missions. Number one's the potential of the seed. Nothing wrong with the seed. It's perfect. Number two, the possession of the seed. We have it. Number three, the planting of the seed. We got to get it out. Number four is the power of the seed. The power of the seed. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Promise of God. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We must quit questioning God. He is God. We are nothing. Amen. A worm. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Here's what he says, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That's the power of the seed. And that is a promise of God. And so sitting in the barn doesn't do a bit of good. The mission of missions, souls in Adrian, Michigan, in Lenawee County, in the United States of America, souls in Canada, Scotland, souls in Costa Rica, in Mexico, in the Philippines, in Africa, souls, children, teens, adults, married people, families, elderly people. The power of the seed is that those people can get saved. Yeah. And we simply need to go forth. And we need to enable others to go forth. And we need to keep going forth and keep our ministry going forth and keep working on this place and pleasing God with our lives so that He'll bless the seed spreading. He said, consider, consider, consider the mission of missions. Get out the seed. Get it out. Every flag represents a nation. Every flag represents thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Every flag represents souls. Every flag represents people that need somebody to tell them. We've got the answer. We have the truth. But is the seed, is it yet? Is it still in the barn? I mean, come on, planting season. I mean, come on, is it still in the barn? Is it yet there? All over this room, there's people, you've led people to Christ. But when's the last time? All over the room, there's, you know, well, you've been to Bible college. Yeah, but when, I mean, you have all the seed. You know what to do. You've got it. But when's the last time you went into the barn, took you a handful, and went out and spread it? All over the room. I mean, there's potential. We've got money that we spend on this. We have money we spend, but we don't even ask God. What do you want me to do, Lord, for faith promise? How can I get brother? Well, we already support the Shinneberries. How can I help Brother Keast? How can I help the Campbells? How can I help the Goosemans? What is it, God? What do you want me to do? And then when He tells you, you say, yes, Lord. I'll do it. What is it in life we just need to do so we can say, God, you know, I'm helping the foundation. I'm going to lay those stones. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to quit worrying about my house, and I'm going to be concerned about your house and what's best for your house. I know what feels good to my house, but God, I'm concerned about your house. That's more important than my house. That's what Haggai is all about. Read it. Read it. You know, we because of our carnal nature, we do pay a lot of attention to our house, don't we? And it is a battle between our house and His house. And there are forces today that like us just forget about His house and do our own thing. But that's not the will of God. And I want His blessing. And I've got the seed. We're in, I can't think of a better position to be in, to be honest with you. When God says, from this day will I bless you. I want to do right, and I want to get His seed out everywhere, just like He said. And I don't want to ever be ashamed when He asks me, is the seed, is it yet, is it still in the barn? what are you doing with my seed? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.